Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Okay, so I've had a few issues with my next door neighbors since I moved in, but nothing creepy until just recently. There's a man, a woman, and at least one boy living there, and I mostly just avoid them. The man seems okay, but a bit weird, and the boy just keeps to himself. The woman is quite a bit off. Not long after we moved in, she had left a note in my mailbox. Our mailboxes are right beside each other between our houses. Anyway, I stood at the mailbox reading the note. She thought that my dog was pooping in her yard. It was possible, as our fence had some holes in it, that our dog had gotten out then. But those holes had been fixed a long time ago. Still, no big deal. Except I noticed her standing in her driveway just staring at me. And the note was very long. I kept reading it. The more I read, the crazier it got, and the weirder her behavior in my peripheral vision became. Apparently, I was entitled. She seemed to think I was somehow instructing my dog to poop in their yard. Her note went on a tangent about how awful dogs are. She was also 100% convinced it was my dog, even though there are always tons of loose dogs, cats, and wildlife wandering around, and no doubt traveling through her unfenced backyard. In my peripheral vision, she got into her SUV, backed out of her driveway, and then parked it along the street directly behind me and just idled there, staring. The note then went on a weird long tirade about the previous family to live in my house, saying I was another Deb, as if I have any idea at all what that's even supposed to mean. Then concluded in some odd insults and some implied, not quite threats. This was the closest thing we'd ever had to a conversation at this point. I can understand not wanting a dog pooping in her yard, but this was a bit of an extreme reaction, as this was literally the first time I'd even heard of there being a problem. A simple note would have done, but this note was insane. She was still staring behind me. I decided to try to ignore her and just go to my house. That's when she shouted out her window,
"Are you playing a game?"
That reaction made no sense.
"Are you nuts?"
I replied as I officially ran out of patience. She shouted more nonsense and insults at me while blocking my driveway, all while I repeatedly told her to leave before I called the cops. This went back and forth like that for a while, but she eventually sped off when I pulled my cell phone out. Later, my boyfriend, who had not been home at the time that this happened, which is important, had a chat with the neighbors. He said that they seemed agreeable and reasonable, and basically dismissed me of just being dramatic. The woman told a very different version of events, of course. I was annoyed that my boyfriend wasn't taking me seriously, but let it go. I think he just wanted to keep getting along with the man next door, as they sometimes borrowed tools. They speak to him a lot differently than how they speak to me, and they don't do anything rude to me while he's around. In fact, they don't speak to me when he's around at all. They always wait for him to be away. Anyway, I mostly just avoid them. Sometimes the woman stares at me, but I just ignore her. Until recently, I've been mostly successful. I don't sleep well at night when I'm home alone, and I'm always home alone now because my boyfriend's out of the country on business for months at a time. I often feel like there's someone just outside my house or at my door. Sometimes my dogs act up at odd hours, but I never see anyone. I keep my house alarm armed and a pistol in my nightstand. The other night was one such night. I didn't sleep well and kept having a sinking feeling that something was wrong. Anyway, I got out of bed at about 2 a.m. because I thought I was scheduled to work at 3 a.m. I had mostly given up on getting a restful sleep then anyway. As I left my house, I heard something to my left, the direction of my neighbor's house, but I didn't see anything. I was always nervous in my driveway because the motion sensor light was broken. There was always a lot of darkness between my door and my truck, so I always moved quickly in my driveway. I got in my truck and then went to work. Well, it turned out that I had misread my schedule and that I didn't work at 3 a.m. that morning after all. Annoyed at the mistake, but grateful that I'd get to go home and sleep a little bit more before the actual start of my shift at 7, I went home. I pulled into my driveway and didn't see anything in the beam of my truck's headlights. I always look around my truck before getting out. I turned the headlights off and got out. I took a few steps ahead of my truck. Then, all of a sudden, a large man called out to me from the shadows at the corner of my house. He scared the living crap out of me so bad that I screamed, then reached for my pepper spray and fell down. He apologized in a tone that didn't sound that sorry at all. It was my neighbor, and that wasn't much of a relief. It took me a few minutes hunched over the ground to collect myself enough to find out what the fuck he wanted. I was seriously freaking out and kind of having a mini panic attack. My heart was racing and I was shaking. I was obviously visibly upset throughout all that follows. Apparently, it was my fault that he occasionally found trash in his yard in Windy, Colorado. Complaining about this seemed to be a lot more of an important issue than scaring the hell out of a woman alone at night. He showed no real concern or realization that was even wrong at all. Again, I have no problem with neighbors bringing issues to my attention. But seriously, hey, can you make sure trash from your bins isn't blowing into my yard? K thanks, bye is not a statement that takes 10 freaking minutes, nor is it one that needs to be addressed at 3 in the freaking morning. I nod in agreement to keep the peace, but I know that the trash isn't mine. We live in a windy area. I mean, trash gets blown around in people's yards all the time. No big deal. But he just wouldn't stop going on about it. He kept needlessly repeating himself and made some not quiet but kind of threat about getting along. I think it was along the lines of, "It would be a real shame if something were to happen." One of those kind of threats. He was keeping me busy that I didn't even notice his wife flanking me. Before I even knew she was there, she appeared from the shadows by a tree. She wanted to yell at me about some eggs. A few weeks ago, I found a bunch of eggs smashed on the road near our shared mailbox. As the carton was right next to them, I thought the carton had previously just been dropped. Not that someone was trying to egg anything. I just assumed my neighbor had dropped the eggs on her way to get the mail and just left them. She denies this, but I still think that's the most likely explanation because no one else has any reason to be out at our mailbox with eggs. But I didn't care enough to say anything to her about it at the time, so I had just forgotten about it. Now she was accusing me of leaving eggs around, again inexplicably expressing the grievance at 3 a.m. It's really weird that she hadn't brought it up weeks ago when it happened, but I know why she didn't. My boyfriend was still here then. I also want to mention that I get my eggs delivered along with my milk. They're delivered to a box by my door, but not my mailbox, so they really couldn't have been mine. My boyfriend has been away on business for several weeks now, long enough for them to have noticed his absence. They were also probably aware that my motion sensor light was out. They sure seem to know how to avoid my headlight beams. Sure, it could be a coincidence, but did I mention that this was all at 3 a.m., not some other dark yet reasonable for a person to be outside hour? Being surprisingly patient, I explained that I knew nothing about the eggs. I mentioned that I later found a lot of the shells in my yard, and I figured a squirrel must have carried them there. She proudly informed me that she tossed them onto my yard herself. Apparently, she thought that was okay, but someone dropping them in the first place wasn't. Anyway, this is where I started to get over my shock a bit and started getting pissed. Initially, I had been somewhat relieved that the man in the shadows had been my neighbor, not just some random crazy person. But now I was pissed. I had been outside with them for something like 20 minutes while they accosted me about stupid crap, while I tried to be polite and agreeable even though I had nothing to do with it. But now everything wrong with the situation had kicked in. I eventually remembered that I don't actually have to put up with any of this, and I cut her off mid-rant and then said, "It's 3 a.m. I'm going home. Good night." And turned on my heel. I had heard her say something in an unkind tone as I left, but I didn't catch what it was. They had staked out my house, waited for my boyfriend to leave, and long enough just to be sure he was gone, all to complain about some inane crap long after it supposedly even happened. If they have concerns, surely there are better times to address them than at 3 a.m. What the hell were they doing out at 3 a.m. anyway? And that man had totally purposely hidden a shadow at the corner of my house where he could avoid my headlights and didn't reveal himself until I was out of my truck and exposed. And shouldn't the woman have walked up beside her husband, not gone around while I was distracted? They keep doing odd behavior. Never enough that they're doing anything illegal or anything to report to the police, but none of this is normal behavior. Honestly, I think these complaints are just excuses, and they're really just taking the opportunity to intimidate me. I think they're messing with me on purpose. Then again, I could be wrong. They could just be weird and incredibly socially inept, but otherwise harmless. Either way, I'll be installing a motion sensor light soon. I was so shaken up and had my adrenaline so high from someone scaring me from a blind spot by my house, because seriously, that could have been someone else and a lot worse, that I didn't really get any sleep before work. For anyone who doesn't feel like reading it, basically my neighbors and husband and a wife have been sort of harassing me for some time, but not in a way I could really do much about. Leaving rude notes in my mailbox, blocking my driveway with their vehicle as soon as I get home, and then shouting abuse. That sort of thing. In the encounter I wrote about, the pair were waiting for me at 3 a.m. lurking in the darkness. My motion security light was broken, and they basically ambushed me when I got home to complain about some inane shit I had nothing to do with. Well, since then, they've really ramped up the aggression. Right out of the harassing neighbor's handbook, they started wasting police time, calling in fake noise complaints and reporting my dogs as unlicensed and unvaccinated, which wasn't true, and how would they even know that anyway? To be fair, I'd been puppy sitting a friend's dog who would occasionally yap at a squirrel, upon which I'd immediately let him in. But that dog has been gone for some time now. Once, while letting the dog in at the first bark, the man stuck his head out the window to scream at me to bring the dog inside, something I was obviously already doing. And then he just kept screaming and screaming. Hilariously, as he was screaming, he called 7 a.m. an ungodly hour. 7 a.m. is past city noise ordinance hours. If his goal was quiet, well, he failed. But I suspect his goal wasn't quiet. He just wanted an excuse. I simply asked him,
"So is this how adults behave?"
And then went inside. This was the last time I ever said a word to either of them. I can prove it, but I'm pretty sure he watches me from my window whenever I'm outside, just looking for any excuse to scream and hurl insults. Recently, I've been outside with my dogs whenever they're outside. I know for a fact that they haven't made a single peep, and yet I still get aggression from them. It's only me, the 4'11" female, that they bother. They never say a word to my 6'3" muscle-bound boyfriend, nor anything to me when he's around. Once, while I was getting mail, the woman saw me out her window, left her house, and started stomping towards me. I then braced myself for some abuse. Then she noticed my boyfriend was waiting in the car next to me, stopped dead in her tracks, and pretended to be getting mail herself. My boyfriend leaves the country now and then for work, and it seems my neighbors are watching. They usually wait a few days just to be sure he's gone. What makes me right today is that they've stopped even bothering to make up excuses. They've apparently learned my schedule and now wait for me at night quite regularly. More than once, I've caught them lurking in the dark. Sometimes I'll be putting trash out at night only to see the woman stalking towards me out of the darkness. When I see her coming towards me, I abandon my task and go back inside and then wait for her to leave. Last night, when I arrived home, the man was waiting for me in the dark. I never saw him, but I heard him, As soon as I got out of my car, he shouted like he was talking to someone else. And then what followed was a string of insults that continued until I got into my house. I don't know where he was in the darkness, or if there was actually someone with him. There's enough lights outside that he would have to be deliberately avoiding them to be unseen. You know that thing the little kids do when someone they don't like is around? When they suddenly turn to their friend and start trash-talking that person as if that's what they've been doing all along, and then the unliked kid isn't even there, but you still do it loudly enough to be heard? It's like that. I only heard his voice. I'm not really sure if there was a second person in the dark with him, or if he was alone or just pretending to talk to someone else. I'm not sure which is creepier. When I went inside, I grabbed my pepper spray and then stepped back outside with my phone, ready to record. But it seemed he was gone at that point. To me, this means that he really was just lurking outside just to wait for me. I should say that I've not spoken a single word to these people since the last time I rode here. I have no idea what their problem is. Seriously, the last time I had anything to do with either of them at all was earlier this week when I heard a car stuck in the snow on the then unplowed road in front of my house and then stepped outside to push the stranger's car free. The neighbor woman happened to come outside during this. I never said a word to her as we pushed the car free. They don't even seem to be looking for excuses or making up things to complain about anymore. Now it's just lurking around outside in the dark to just harass me. I'm documenting all of this, and I plan to get a restraining order or something as soon as I get some proof. I'm definitely getting a security camera as soon as I can afford one. Last week, the front tire in my truck on the side their house is on got flat right before a big blizzard hit. I ended up having to replace the two front tires. Now, these tires were needing replaced anyway, and I couldn't see any obvious puncture in the flat one, but a part of me wonders if it was really just a coincidence. It would be an easy target for neighbors lurking in the dark between houses. I've started sleeping with my pistol on my nightstand again. Update. The police came and talked to me. They seemed sympathetic and they said they'd file a report, but didn't seem to write much down. Maybe they didn't really need to? Or maybe I just prattled on a bit and gave more information than was actually needed for them. I feel like I was such a baby explaining what happened. Even just talking about it raises my anxiety sky high. I'm pretty sure I was shaking. I don't think they just take one side of the story as gospel, but I do think they can see that I feel very unsafe in my own home now because of this. Unfortunately, as it's so late, we had to agree that it was best that they not go talk to the neighbors tonight, as they would surely complain about the late visit and possibly want to retaliate even more. The police told me that documentation is helpful, so it was a good thing I called them, as now we have ongoing records being collected. But not much else can be done as far as charges go until I get something recorded. They told me what I'd need for harassment charges and what I'd need for a restraining order. Also, they advised me that I should install in security cameras and record on my phone whenever I can. They even told me that I can legally use my phone to record them on their own property if they're presently harassing. Obviously, I can't just record them whenever or point my security cameras permanently spying on them. Thank you to everyone here for your support. Hopefully I won't have to post a third installment, but we'll see, I guess. After a short period of calm, my neighbors have gone back to lurking in the dark whenever I get home and screaming abuse at me. Last time the cops couldn't do anything, but this time I actually got it on video. The man even repeated my name after he noticed I was recording. The police came quickly and they're talking to them now. I'll add updates within the hour. Okay, here's the story. Apparently, the lady next door, whose episodes I've written about before, has somehow become convinced that her husband is cheating with me. Apparently, there are certain people out there who just love slinging around random accusations. Seriously, I don't even know this guy's name, and I struggle to even describe him to the police. And this man's way of disproving the accusations? Waiting for me to come home and shouting insults about me while alternating between loudly worshiping his wife's beauty but also calling her a bitch. Anyway, I got home a little after 11 p.m. and I was taking out my trash when the wife shouted at me,
"You're playing a game with me!"
which she has done before when she wanted to cause trouble. That's when I started recording. From that point on, it was mostly just the man yelling. They've done this a few times since my last update, and were even bold enough to do it during the day, but they didn't say my name then, and the audio quality was poor, so I didn't do anything with it. And things had calmed down recently, so I thought they were done. And then tonight, they started up again. When I pulled out my phone, the wife was taunting me. Something like,
"Yeah, go ahead. Start recording, bitch."
Which I'm not sure if I got that on video or not. The wife also told me that I need to move out of my house. As for the men, it was mostly just a string of insults. How I'm an ugly psycho cunt and so on. I did not say one single word to them. Not one. They went inside after I put my phone to my ear. Suddenly, they were not so bold anymore when they realized I was on the phone with the police. So the police came, watched my videos, and then talked to them. When the police returned, they said the couple was still being belligerent when they went there, and that the couple was shocked they could actually be arrested for this behavior. The neighbors actually tried to turn it into a complaint about my dogs, but the police weren't having it. Before the police arrived, they read the report of the previous officers that came out. So they knew these people only acted up when my boyfriend wasn't around. So they claimed my dogs acted differently when my boyfriend is around somehow. Anyway, it didn't work. Small update. I talked to the people at my work. I told them that if I ever don't show up for a shift and can't be reached by phone, that the police are to be called to my house immediately. Both my supervisor and manager now want me to check in with them by text on my days off. My supervisor will be escorting me home and would like to show up at my house periodically, just to let the neighbors know someone is around. Okay, so a few new things have happened, but none were really worth an update all on their own, but I feel like I have enough now. My coworkers have been following me home from work most days. My neighbors, I'm pretty sure, have been waiting for me, as I don't get home until late, and their lights are always on in one room in their house, the room that overlooks my driveway. But with a witness escorting me, the neighbors have stayed quiet for the last few weeks. The woman occasionally comes outside when she notices me out front, but I'm not out there much, so she usually doesn't come out in time. Once while I was in my garage doing some minor work on my car, I had heard some rustling just to the side of my garage door. I knew the woman was out there, so I just closed the garage door. Another time she came out while I was moving some bins. She muttered something, and I knew she was talking to me as we were the only ones out there, but I didn't hear what she said and I didn't really much care. I just ignored her. I can't always get escorted home at night. After a few nights of having no escort, I think they caught on to the pattern. I came home one night and they had their garage door open, which they do when they're wanting to harass me. Unfortunately for them, I was delayed, and I didn't get home until midnight, and they weren't out anymore. Anyway, I figured that I should probably know what these people's names are and what they look like, so I did a public record search on their address. The woman came up with three last names, so it seems she's been married and divorced before. I went looking for these people on Facebook just so I could verify that I was getting the correct people. The man didn't seem to have an account, but the woman did, and when I checked her page, this is what I found. I'll post the photo on the screen for you all to look at. These are comments below a picture that she posted of a Chucky doll and the bride of Chucky doll. I guess that's what she is? So when she says the one on the left, that's what she means. I don't know why she's convinced I'm the psycho one. Seriously, I don't say or do anything to these people. I'm not the one lurking in the dark screaming insults or posting crazy all over online making vague threats about how things were done back in the day. Notice the date. She's not only writing about me being somehow nosy, but also seems paranoid that I was stalking her on Facebook, even though I never even looked her up until just a few weeks ago. She seems way too convinced that people are actually interested in their lives. I wouldn't even care that they existed if they weren't causing me problems. And remember, I didn't even bother to learn their names before. so now I'm watching her Facebook page, but I don't want to. I really don't care about this person, but now I have to check it periodically just in case she posts something else about me, so that maybe I can get an early warning if she's planning an attack or something, and I have to be ready to screen cap anything incriminating before it gets taken down. This annoys me almost as much as their harassment. I don't want to waste my time having to keep tabs on the social media of someone I'd rather just pretend doesn't even exist. I really hate that she's making me waste my time and attention on her. I'll send no friend requests to her or anyone she knows. I'll send no messages to her or anyone she knows. And I'll make no tagging of her or anyone she knows, and I'll have no contact. But as long as it's public, I'm going to keep an eye on it and just wish I didn't have to. Anyway, the reason I'm writing today is because they're adjusting their tactics. After some silence after their last lecture from the police, they've decided they just want to stay off camera. Today, which was daytime, I stepped out of my house and went to my mailbox. I heard some noise from inside their house, but didn't much care. I figured they were bickering amongst themselves. Then I heard the woman loudly say something to the effect of,
"She's right out there. Do it."
Followed immediately by the man shouting out his window,
"Hey fucking cunt, fuck off already."
Which was obviously directed at me. Why even do that? I hadn't done anything. I'd ask what their problem is, but I really don't care. Unfortunately, as they weren't outside, I wasn't recording. For the first time in a long time, I responded. I said simply this,
"How badly do you guys want a restraining order?"
Funny enough, I didn't get a response. Then I got in my car and left for work, where I am now. I'm sick of calling the police. I'm going to the station tomorrow and filing a formal complaint. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I spoke to the woman who actually lives on the other side of the harassing neighbors. She was really nice. She said that the people next door creep her out and used to shout at her too. But then a high white wall, not a fence, but a big metal wall was seriously built outside between their properties, so the harassing neighbors couldn't see her anymore. At first, I thought the cool neighbor built it, but it turns out the harassing neighbors put it up themselves. Shortly after my last update, my boyfriend came home from Afghanistan. And what do you know? My neighbor shut the fuck up. A few times I found the woman lurking outside, very near the property line, just staring at me as she always does. I see her doing this as I pull into my driveway. I'd get out and she'd stare. But then my boyfriend got out of the car too and she turned right around and walked away. But now he's gone again. It took the neighbors a few weeks, but they did notice. March 6, 2016, sometime after 11 p.m., and I just got home from work. I was driving my boyfriend's car that night, and I pulled it straight into the garage and immediately shut the garage door behind me. I didn't see them outside when I pulled into my property, but as soon as I got out of my car, I heard him. He was screaming his random insults again. I can't be 100% sure, but I thought he sounded like he was standing in my driveway just on the other side of my garage door. I didn't say anything. I just went in the door that connects my garage to my house. A little while later, I went outside. The guy only comes out for me, and he probably figured I was in for the night. So I reckon the coast was clear enough for me to get my mail and take out my trash. Nope. The man and woman both come out hooting and hollering. The usual insults, telling me that I'm somehow the psycho one and telling me to move. I tell them that I have more than enough evidence to press charges. The man says he doesn't care, but quickly retreats inside when I demand to know if he was on my property. He wouldn't answer that on camera. Anyone who remembers previously remembers that these people just scream insults, and they don't seem to even have any particular complaint. Well, apparently the cops told them off for it. So now they think they can get away with their crazy harassment if somewhere in there they throw in a complaint. If only to have it on video, regardless of how untrue it is. Recently, they now accuse me of revving my engine. Obviously, I wasn't. March 24th, It was 1 a.m. and I was asleep. The doorbell rang. My dogs went nuts. Now, we had just had a bad snowstorm, so I thought maybe it was someone who got their car stuck on the street out front and needed some help. It has happened before, although not at that hour. Still, I wasn't dumb enough to just open the door. Instead, I opened my second story window, and it's a good thing I did. The man was out there ranting and raving away. He started his nonsense by claiming he didn't want to go to jail, even though he was doing the exact thing he was warned would land him in jail and now on my property doing it. He called me a psycho and ugly and so on. Blah blah. And since he was being recorded, a bullshit complaint. Apparently I'm revving my engine despite being asleep in bed. He never knew that I had a pistol in my hand. It was out of sight. I wasn't threatening him with it, pointing it at him, or showing it to him, but I had it. I was hoping he wouldn't try to break in, but I was ready if he did. Luckily, he left when ordered to. I went down to the courthouse for a restraining order this morning. They told me to come back tomorrow. Oh, I forgot to mention that I had finally added security cameras. I got them set up today. I'm going to have to redo them as I'm not entirely happy with their placement, but it'll do for now. Well, $300 later, I now have a temporary restraining order against both of them. We all three have to appear in court for the permanent restraining order in 2 weeks. I saw the woman getting served with the papers today just as I was leaving for work. Not sure what to expect when I get home. I have all of my evidence put together to show the judge. I wonder what the neighbors will say in their defense. Okay, it's been a while since I last updated. Since the last incident I wrote about in the previous update back in March, I've installed security cameras around my home. So it's April 5th, 2016, and I got approved for a temporary restraining order against both neighbors. The county does not make it easy. I had to be at the courthouse early and fill out paperwork. I had to do separate paperwork for both of them. I couldn't just write both of their names on the same form, and it all has to be complete and filed by 9 a.m. or you won't be seen. And as for filing, it's not free, and I had to pay for both. Eventually, everyone petitioning for a restraining order that day all went into the same courtroom and we were called before the judge one at a time. Some people got their restraining orders approved, while others didn't. It was heartbreaking to see an elderly blind woman be denied. It's hard for someone who can't see to provide evidence. Not that evidence was being presented at the time, mind you. Thankfully, the judge approved me for a restraining order against both of them. I was really worried that I would get the restraining order against the male, but not the female, and she would retaliate. Then I had to pay again to have these restraining orders served. In all, it cost me $300. Now, this was just a temporary restraining order. It's only good for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks from when it's filed, the case for a permanent restraining order is held, to which the defendants must attend or they'll automatically lose. April 6, 2016. Just as I was leaving for work, I saw the woman being served. She looked irate, but I wasn't getting into that. I thanked the serving officer as he left. I received proof of service the next day. April 11th, 2016. When I got home from work a bit after 11 p.m., their garage door was open, and the woman was sitting on a chair in her driveway, apparently waiting for me. When I parked and got out of my truck, she went into the garage. They weren't leaving me alone, though. They were doing it so they'd be out of sight and not on video. The male from inside his garage started in with his usual harassment, insults and obscene as I've recorded before, and just to make it perfectly clear, he said my address. I recorded it on my phone, but the quality was poor. Even though I can hear them clear as day hooting and hollering, my phone doesn't pick it up or play it back so well. So the police who I called over didn't have enough to go on to bring them in on a restraining order violation. April 19th, 2016. This was today. I arrived at court early in the morning. I just barely made it on time due to weather and traffic. Quite a few people were late. My neighbors were late. I had been hoping they just wouldn't show. So what happens when they go for a restraining order is this. Everyone filing for a restraining order that day and every defendant is all in the same courtroom. Cases get called one at a time. First, the judge just goes over who is who, clarifies a few things, decides whether or not she will even allow there to be a case for a restraining order, then asks the defendant if they'd like to contest the case. If the defendant contests it, there will be a hearing. This is where both parties present their facts and evidence. If the defendant does not contest it, there's no hearing and the restraining order is simply granted. In my case, both of my neighbors declined to contest and the restraining order was granted. But don't let that make you think these people were being rational and sane. Oh no. When they asked if they had any questions, they asked the judge if they could counter the restraining order. That is, have a restraining order against me. I managed not to laugh. I was already never on their property and never contacting them. They were just doing it out of spite. The male did try to say that I was a danger because I had a gun around his wife. Odd, since for that to be true, his wife would have had to been trespassing on my property at the same time he was. If you remember my previous update, you already know what this is about. The male was at my house at 1 a.m. at my door hooting and hollering and being all hostile, telling me to die. And I was armed as I was expecting him to break in. He didn't know that though. I didn't show my weapon, mention it, or allude to it in any way. The only way he knows about it is because the fact that I possess it was written by me on my formal complaint. This weapon, by the way, is perfectly legal for me to own. The judge pretty much blew him off. She said if he wants a restraining order, he can go through the application process just like I did. If he does, he'll be wasting his money. Oh, and at one point while talking to the judge, the woman referred to me as it. Lovely people. We speculated a bit here about drugs and alcohol being involved. But just looking at how they behaved in court while presumably sober makes me believe this is really just who these people are as people. Substances or not. I was 10,000% ready to go. I had copies of all my police reports. And I had the videos on my laptop, and I bought speakers to play it all nice and loud. There was no way they could have really defended their actions. So they declined to contest the charges, and I got the restraining order against the both of them. Basically, they are not to contact me or be on my property. They must maintain a certain distance from me except when at their house because they live there, and the judge wasn't going to make them move. Given how they behaved in court, still irrational and unrepentant, I believe it was only a matter of time before they violated the permanent restraining order. Who wants to start a poll? Anyway, that's it for now. After I left the courtroom, I went to a nearby bench to organize my backpack and get out my phone. While I was doing that, the neighbors left the courtroom. They were muttering something in an unkind tone, but I didn't catch it. I waited for them to go down the elevators before I even tried to use them myself, as I wanted distance. As I was going down, I met up with a nice lawyer. He had to drop off a paper downstairs real quick, but agreed to walk me to my car in a nearby parking garage afterwards. Nice man. It's good to know that there are still some decent people out there. Afterwards, I went to a copy shop and got copies of my restraining order made. Then I went to the mall. It wasn't shopping, I just wanted to pace around, talk to my mom on the phone, and blow off steam. Even though it all went my way, it's still a very stressful experience to deal with. Even if these people didn't know where I worked before, they do now as it's on the paperwork that they got. So I dropped off a copy of the restraining orders with my boss on the way home. He was able to get photos of them off their Facebook. So my boss is going to put together BOLO flyers for the security guards to watch out for these people. I need a nap. I want to think this is the end, but I doubt that it really is. I think it's only a matter of time before they start testing the limits of the restraining order, looking for loopholes and eventually escalating. I've got my guard up. If it ever gets to the point where I have to defend myself, At least I can say I did everything legal and peaceful to prevent it from ever getting that far. The rest is up to them now. This may just be my last update. Okay, so it hasn't been quite a month since I got the restraining order. They've been pushing it. One morning while I was leaving for work, the woman came out. She was out with her dog as an apparent excuse. She was staring at me the whole time, body facing me. She started walking towards the property line towards my car when I got in it. Then as I backed out, suddenly she needed to be at the mailbox right where my car now was. I drove away. She was trying to see how close she could get. The whole time she was in nothing but her underwear. The next day I didn't work. I went outside to put my bins out while still wearing my pajamas. She came out and made an obviously fake and loud laugh. Restraining order doesn't block laughing. She was trying to provoke me into saying something. Anyway, I found it amusing that she would fake laugh at me for being in my pajamas when she couldn't be bothered to put on pants just the day before. May 11th. I let my dogs out around 9 a.m. As soon as they started barking, I opened the door to let them in. Now, my back door is a sliding door, so I could not be seen. And yet, as soon as I opened the door, the neighbor guy was screaming his head off at me. I wonder if he thinks I can hear him from inside my house with my door closed. I can't imagine the point of yelling at someone to let their dogs in when that's clearly what they're already doing, but he's not very bright. My dog's barking may have been the reason for his yelling, or his yelling may have been the reason for the barking. I would not be surprised if he intentionally provoked my dogs just to have an excuse to yell. That's a violation of the restraining order, but I didn't let him see me. As far as he knows, I never heard him. I decided to keep it that way. Anyway, while I'm sure what he said had something to do with insults directed at me and my dogs, I for some reason decided that instead it sounded an awful like, "Hey, now would be a great time to mow your lawn." So I did. I'm sure that he loved that. I'm sure that he also loved that I did so with my headphones on and never once looked towards their house. Yeah, I'll admit, I enjoyed some petty revenge. By then, it was about 10 a.m., well past when any reasonable person would expect quiet, but these aren't reasonable people. And as satisfying as it was to run my mower and completely ignore their impotent rage while having all laws on my side, I did worry somewhat about retaliation, so I remained armed the whole time. Later on, after I finished mowing, I attended to some other yard work out front. Once I rounded the corner of my house just as their van was pulling out of their driveway, they honked. Another test of the restraining order. I'm sure that they yelled too, but I had my headphones on. I kept an eye on them in my peripheral vision, but I never looked in their direction or responded at all. As far as they know, I never even noticed them. I'm not stupid though, and I rounded back around my house and out of sight. Now, I could report restraining order violations, but these being relatively minor, I don't imagine much would come of it. But there is something incredibly satisfying about just knowing that they're raging over me, not just responding to them, but not even acknowledging them either. May 12th. The next day, I saw the for sale sign in front of their house. I'm so happy. However, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to just pull something just as they were leaving, kind of like disgruntled employees do on their last day. So I'm not letting my guard down and I'm keeping those security cameras rolling. If anything else does happen, I'll be riding here again. But apart from that, it looks like this is finally ending. Unless they do something else before the move, this will probably be my last post on the topic. It's not a very climactic end, but I'm really happy that peace and quiet are finally within sight. I'm considering whether or not I should check public records after they move and pass along my contact information to their next neighbors, just in case they ever have problems and need help from someone who's dealt with these people before. But I'm not really sure if that could get me in trouble. I want to thank everyone who's been reading this and giving me advice. Your support and advice has helped me a lot. I might not have ever even gone to the police if it wasn't for this sub. Thank you. Wow, okay. This actually happened like a week ago, but I've just been too busy to post. June 4th, 2016. So these people have been pushing the limits of the restraining order and occasionally outright violating it pretty much since they got it, but since they're moving, I've mostly ignored it. But one day I pulled into my garage after 11 p.m. and of course they're out there screaming their usual shit. The exact thing that got them into trouble in the first place. They stalk me, learn my schedule, and wait, lurking in the dark for me to get home. They shout their abuse, insults, threats, and so on, as they've been warned time and time again would land them in jail, and I have had it. I ask them,
"Do you want to go to jail?"
There was a stunned silence.
"That was not a rhetorical question. I'm asking."
Anyway, they keep up with their insults, but I just keep cutting them off. I tell them that they're violating the restraining order. I tell them that the only reason they weren't in jail already is because I'm so nice to them, which they don't seem to get. I could have gone far further than a restraining order. I could press criminal charges. I could sue them. And even if they move out of state, I could drag them all the way back to Colorado court. I tell them that I don't have to be so nice and I don't have to keep giving them chances. I tell them that if they want to avoid jail, they need to shut up and go inside, and preferably seek counseling and rehab. They stammer a bit and tell me to mind my own business. Really, they harass me but tell me to mind my own business. Yeah, that's a laugh. Yes, I know, I broke my own rule. But I was just beyond pissed, and I figured I had all the power, legally anyway. I considered calling the cops that night, but it was late and I had to be back at work in 8 hours, so I just went to bed. About an hour later, the doorbell rings. At first, I thought it was them, since the guy has pulled that shit at 1 a.m. before. When I saw it was the cops, I put the gun away. They called the cops. I shit you not, they called the cops themselves. It's not even possible for me to be nice to them. They'll screw themselves over. So they get in trouble for violating the restraining order, and the woman got arrested. I don't really know why only the woman was arrested, even though they were both doing that shit. But whatever. I know that she was held overnight because the cops called me to let me know the next day. As for me, I got in no trouble whatsoever, of course, because I did nothing wrong. I don't even think they know what they were calling the cops for. I seriously can't stop laughing that they did this shit to themselves. That's what gets me. I didn't even call the cops. All the neighbors had to do was nothing and they would have been fine. But if these people had any sense about them at all, this situation wouldn't exist in the first place. So that was pretty funny. Oh, and for anyone wondering, yes, I did stay up and watch her get put in the squad car from my window. And yes, it was satisfying. Considering their escalation since the restraining order, I think they would have done more eventually if left unchecked. Maybe the arrest will be the rolled up newspaper the SNOW needed to get them back in line long enough to move. Update, June 14th, 2016. Animal control showed up at my door about a barking complaint this morning. Guess who called? Even on the warning, it says my dog was outside for a grand total of 10 minutes. I always bring my dog in when she barks. The animal control officer seemed apologetic. He knows what's up. He says he gets called out for bogus complaints all the time. I told him all about the restraining order, the arrest last week, and I pointed to my security cameras and explained the incidents that led to them. He still had to give me a warning, but said it basically doesn't even mean anything. The neighbors would have to prove nuisance barking for anything to actually come of it. He actually laughed when he explained that within 72 hours of a warning, no further action could even be taken. So if I wanted, I can leave my dogs out and let them bark all day. I think he's sick of people using animal control as a way to harass as well. I'm not going to do that, but it's tempting. The woman was outside, I think, when animal control was at the door. I think she was looking forward to seeing me in trouble. She went inside real quick when it was clear that the animal control officer and I were getting along fine and that I was in no trouble whatsoever. Salt. Funny how shouting harassment in the middle of the night is perfectly okay in their book. But a dog barking once or twice in the middle of the day? Oh no, we can't have that now, can we? I also forgot to mention this earlier, but my boyfriend is coming home today, so I should have at least a month of relative peace. I have another update. Out with the old and in with the new. The old neighbors are gone, and the new ones are in, and it's a welcome change. I haven't met them all yet, but I have met the man, and I see that he has his own dogs, which he actually lets in his backyard. He seems friendly. I saw him the other night playing Pokemon Go, walking down the sidewalk carrying his phone and a nice drink. He stopped to talk a bit. Apparently he heard about how horrible the previous neighbors were from elsewhere. He seemed sympathetic. Hopefully we'll continue to get along. I had never had a problem with a neighbor before in my life before those people, and I know that they must be rare, but still, I can't help but feel a bit guarded. Well, I guess this is the end now. Thank you all for listening, and stay safe out there.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So a little backstory. This isn't directly my story, instead my professor's. I took a specialized class in sex crimes while in my junior year of college and university. One reason was because I had to have an elective. The other was because I was genuinely curious about the psychology behind these crimes. My professor was in her mid-40s and had worked with convicted offenders for years leading up to her becoming a professor. She never delved into what exactly her job was, but we all knew that she worked closely with them on the conviction and rehabilitation side. I'll never forget the day she told us this story. It was a really cold morning in late October. Her class was my 9 a.m. that Tuesday, and a class of maybe about 15. We had got done going over a chapter we were on, leaving us with about an hour left in class. The chapter we were on was about the psychology of offenders when and after they offend. Instead of releasing us early, my professor tells us that she has a story for us. Naturally, our ears perk up. She starts telling us that years ago, her and her work partner went to a group meeting of offenders for their rehabilitation and probation requirements. They weren't there to do anything, just sit and listen and take notes. A while into their meeting, the organizer asked the men in their group how their lives were going. A lot of the men said that therapy was truly helping. They got a new job, moved, etc. Then came one man. Let's call him Jay for simplicity. Jay started describing that he had moved into a new apartment with a pool. It had a great kitchen, but there was a girl that he was unsure about. The organizer questioned him about what he meant. Jay responded that he didn't know if it was okay to date. Of course, the other men in the group then said,
"Of course,"
and that he needs to explain his situation. Jay relaxed a bit, the sentiments making him feel better. He then began describing his newfound crush. Blonde hair, big green eyes, she loves to sing, but that she was incredibly touchy, and that her mother, who she still lived with, was very controlling of her. Jay said he didn't know how to handle her forwardness, and that she was a little younger. Naturally, the organizer told him that it's okay to date, and asked how old she was. That's when he said that she was 9. 9 years old. My professor then said she had never seen other offenders get so close to trying to kill another person in her life. Her partner immediately removed him from the group and then got into contact with his probation officer. She said that Jay acted like he didn't know what the big deal was and that it was just a crush. completely oblivious to the severity of what he just said, scoffing at the partner when he ridiculed him. This man was registered, and when you're registered, you cannot live at certain places, like an apartment with a pool. She never found out how he pulled it off. We all just sat there stunned. One girl silently cried, as did I. All of the men got visibly angry at the story she just told us. She then told us that he's walking around free. My name is Molly. I'm 22 and I think that I might have avoided dating a murderer. This started about a month ago. I found out my now ex-boyfriend was cheating on me, and I dumped him after finding out. There were also other things that led up to this, but this was the final nail in the coffin for this relationship. His excuse for cheating on me was that he wasn't over the death of his first wife, which doesn't make sense at all, and I'm going to get into her death. While my ex and I were dating, he told me that his first wife passed away due to depression 2 years prior. You can all gather what that means. And of course, this really pulled at my heartstrings, and I felt for him. He then told me that his best friend did the same exact thing 2 months later. Weird, right? At the time, I thought it was strange, but didn't lean more into it out of respect for my ex and the trauma it caused. Having my own struggles with that, I didn't want to question it further. But after breaking up with him, things aren't making any sense. Firstly, he told me two completely different stories as to the methods and how they both offed themselves. The way he told me how his wife did it the first time he told me is physically impossible. If you all know Kurt Cobain's story, put two and two together minus the drugs. In the back of my mind, I knew it'd be impossible, especially since it happened in a car as well. I decided to ask him about it one day, and he was irate that I would even question it. He also told me that he never said it was a .22, that it was a pistol instead. Now, I'll admit, I'm forgetful, but details like that you just don't forget. I asked him why he'd tell me it was a .22 and not a pistol, and he said that he misspoke and did not bring it up again. That set alarm bells off for me. Why? Because he was an avid gun guy. He's someone that can take apart a gun that he's never touched or fired and put it back together again. So why would he simply say it was one type when it was a completely different gun entirely? Now on to his best friend. He told me that the autopsy revealed that there were ligature marks around the neck, with a talk screen of the charts, but internal bruising. If you've seen my posts before, you'll know that I'm a mortician's kid with a degree in criminal justice in hopes of working in crime scenes. So I'm not ignorant to suspicious things like this. I again tell him that it's odd, and again he gets pissed, telling me that I'm stupid and that I don't know what I'm talking about and to not bring it up again. I don't know if I'm overthinking or something else, but I don't have a good feeling about any of this. I've started looking into all of this further, and I'm going to talk to some of my old professors who are in law enforcement about what they think. The story is still ongoing.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey, everyone. I'd like to start this post out by saying that the story happened to me back in 2020 during the pandemic, so some details are a bit fuzzy and lost in time, but the story itself will remain the same. I grew up in a small town in the Midwest where there wasn't much to do. During the pandemic, a majority of our usual hangout places were closed down or heavily mandated. With that being said, my friends and I really had no place to go. See, we decided to quarantine together during the summer since we were so close-knit, and the first 2 months had really affected our mental health and left us feeling isolated. I was considered the mom friend, as I was the oldest and the only one with a car and license. Therefore, it was usually up to me to plan what adventures we would go on. This specific experience happened in late August, after our town had been hit by a devastating storm that destroyed a majority of the surrounding area. I decided on this day that we would drive out to a small lake about 40 minutes away from our town to see if any damage had occurred out there. Yeah, there was some, but not as bad. The lake had a parking lot out in the back that led to a walking trail around the perimeter of the water. But before that, you had to cut through the surrounding woods and walk past a heavily overgrown spillway. The group consisted of me, my cousin Ethan, and our close friend Rose. I was the only one who had been in the area before, so I took the initiative. We sat out on the trail and stopped a few times to ogle at the amount of frogs that littered the small stream running off the spillway. When I say there were a lot of frogs, I'm not exaggerating. There were at least 50 in our line of sight, and since we were in the woods, that line of sight wasn't a lot. I remember at one point I had noticed and pointed out a really strong smell coming from the water. It reminded me of burnt sugar with a mix of roadkill, and my friends had agreed that it was funky. We decided to walk away from the stream to get back on the trail, chalking up the smell to just a dead animal in the woods. Now we get to the weird part. The next bit is kind of weird to describe, as the layout is a bit odd. So once you get on this path and closer to the spillway, you'd have to walk uphill, but since it's so steep, they had built wooden stairs leading to the top. The stairs were accompanied by a wooden railing, as the spillway is directly next to it and is about a 15-foot drop straight down. At the top of the stairs, there's a wooden landing before the trail continues. We had gotten to the landing and were chatting and goofing around like normal teenagers would do, when we all got this strong sense of dread at the same time. It was almost suffocating how creepy the atmosphere had become. It felt as if we were being watched, and that nasty smell I noticed had become almost overwhelming. Ethan had turned away and looked down over the railing before turning back to us.
"Guys, I think someone is here."
His already pale face was somehow whiter than usual, and he looked like he had just seen a ghost. Rose and I looked down to where he was talking about, and directly below us in the spillway was a giant pile of brush and sticks. On top of the pile lay a purple flannel, a pair of brand new shoes, and a piece of cloth that we couldn't make out. It was at that point that we all knew what was going on, and my stupid true crime obsessed self wanted to investigate. My friends were on board, so we made our way back to the steps, Ethan grabbing a large stick for protection on the way down. The only way for us to get to that part of the spillway was to either jump the 15 feet into the green water and potentially fall into the pile, or go back around on the other side of the stream where it was flat and cross through. When we reached the crossing point, we realized that in order to get to that spot, we would have to get our feet wet. Thankfully, we all wore sandals, so wading through the ankle-deep water wasn't so bad. I will point out here that there were frogs everywhere, as well as bugs. When we had gotten to the pile, Ethan took the stick and lifted the mystery cloth to our direction so we could make out what it was. It was a pair of white panties that were stained with something brown. It wasn't menstrual blood or feces, as it had soaked the entire thing, and we could barely tell it was originally white. We could, however, tell that it was dried blood. Ethan flicked the cloth off the stick, and me and Rose were walking away from the pile, not wanting to be here any longer. To our shock and horror, when we turned around to see if Ethan was following, we had seen him chuck the stick straight into the pile with such a force that it cut through the brush and echoed through the woods. Almost immediately as he does this, a swarm of insects and frogs come billowing out of the pile from every direction, and the smell sucker punched us in the face, becoming even stronger. Safe to say, we hauled ass out of there to my car. We washed off using an old water spout and a beach towel that I'd left in my car, and then went back to my house. We had discussed what happened with the rest of our friend group while smoking later that evening, and we all agreed that there was definitely a dead body underneath those sticks. Here's where we fucked up. Instead of calling the cops like we should have,
We gathered up a bunch of safety gear to go check it out the next day. I know, what the fuck? We got there at about noon at this time, and we had two more people joining us. Two of us went up the stairs, and the others went around the flat side and made our way to the spillway. Me and my friend had gone up the stairs, and I pointed out to her how the smell had completely disappeared, as it was so strong in this spot not even a day ago. We ended up reaching the top before the others made it on the other side. I looked over the railing in horror as the pile and the clothes were gone. It was almost like they had never been there at all. The only thing that remained was a white sock that wasn't there the day before, and a bunch of frogs. Ethan and the others came running on the flat side as soon as I realized the scene was missing. We all just stood there in silence, equally confused and scared. I don't think any of us said anything at all, but somehow we all knew at the same time that we needed to get the fuck out of there. I've been out there a few times since then, and there's still no trace of what we saw that day. There's plenty of questions I have that will never get answered, but we've all come to the consensus that yes, there was definitely a body out there, and whoever did it was most likely still in the area and probably watched the whole thing. I did call the cops, but there wasn't much they could do, and the clothes we found hadn't matched the description of any missing women in the area. This is a great time for me to point out that our area has a lot of missing and murdered indigenous women, as our tribe is located about 20 minutes away from the lake. I'm not sure if this is one of those cases or not, but I urge anyone listening to be informed about this topic, and please be aware of the reality that so many women face. So to the potential murderer at the spillway, I really hope that I never encounter you. Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember to always stay hungry.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.